Hi, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Yang, and doctoral student right now for epidemiology. And today I will present my research. The topic is calcium intake associated with risk factors for cardiovascular disease among obese adults. Okay, this is present disclosed. So my presentation includes the following contents: introduction, math, result, discussion, and conclusion. So cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of mortality in the United States. About 600,000 people died of cardiovascular disease in the U.S. each year. So this is always a topic, the hot topic. We know obesity is a major risk factor for cardiovascular disease. Incidence of the cardiovascular disease is very high among obese people. And in the past 20 years, there is a dramatic increase in obesity in U.S. adults. Right now, more than one-third U.S. adults are obese. So the dietary is another important risk factor for cardiovascular disease. Stress as intake too much sodium can increase the blood pressure. That is already proved by a lot of research. And right now, another potential dietary risk factor, calcium intake, get more and more attention by the epidemiologists. So right now, our research is focused on the relationship between the calcium intake and cardiovascular disease. We use these clinical risk factors to approach the cardiovascular disease, include the hypertension, the determined by the systolic blood pressure and the diastolic blood pressure, and the total cholesterol, high density lipoprotein, the hemoglobin that is measured for the plasma glucose concentration for a long time, and the C-reactive protein. This level increase it means inflammation happened, and the albuminuria that is reflect the subclinic vascular damage in the kidney. So based on this background, we use a cross-sectional study design to examine the association between the calcium intake and the seven risk factors for cardiovascular disease among the U.S. adults in the last decades. So our starting population is the participants of National Health and Nutrition Exam Study, that is NHANES, from 1999 to 2010. Our inclusion criteria include adults aged more than 20 years old. Because we avoided the alcohol use as one variable in our study, that data just collected more than 20 years old. And obesity defined as either generalized obesity or central obesity. Generalized obesity is well known, is determined by the BMI, and the central obesity is defined as waist circumference greater than 102 centimeters for male and 88 centimeters for female. And we also exclude the pregnant women. This is variable measurement in our study. The major predictor is calcium intake. The unit is milligram per day, and this is get from the 24 hours dietary interview from NHANES. And this interview get estimates the intake of energy and the nutrition from the food and beverage. And the outcome variable is risk factors for cardiovascular disease. It includes systolic blood pressure, diastolic blood pressure, total cholesterol, HDL, C-reactive protein, hemoglobin, albuminuria, and we also involve other covariates, include demographic, behavior, and conditions. All our statistics followed by the NHANES statistics guideline. Our samples stratified by the quartiles of calcium intake. And we use the ANOVA test and the chi-square test to do the descriptive statistics. And we also use both linear and logistic regression to do the regression analysis. All the statistics conducted by the SAS software. Okay, this is my result part. The table 1 is characteristic of obese adults by quartile calcium intake. The cost, the calcium intake numbered by the from the lowest number to the highest number, it means lowest calcium intake quartile to the highest calcium intake quartile. You can see, oh, yes, no error. Okay, you can see the bottom line. It shows the means of calcium intake quartile in the different groups. And our analysis based on 15,800 individuals, and every quartile includes more than 3,000 people, and the calcium intake range from the 0 milligram per day to the 8,700 milligram per day, and the mean of the calcium intake is about 800 milligram per day. So from the result, we can say the means of the age decreased by the quartiles increased, and the male is have a high percentage in the highest quartile, highest calcium intake quartiles, and we found the higher income and high education levels tend to have the more calcium intake. And Mexican-American and no Hispanic black, the percentage of them decreased by the calcium intake quartiles, but no Hispanic white, the percentage of them is increased by the calcium intake quartiles. And fewer smoking but more alcohol use individuals in the highest calcium intake quartiles. And the percentage of diabetes also decreased by the calcium intake quartiles increased. Okay, this is another part of the exam, still for the table one. And this is show some relationship between the outcome variables with in the different calcium intake quartiles. We can see for the continual format of the outcome variables, systolic blood pressure, CRP, glucosemoglobin, and albuminuria is decreased. Their level is decreased by the calcium intake quartile increased. A similar of them, these variables also their elective format of these variables also significant difference in the calcium intake quartiles. But other variables such as diastolic blood pressure, total cholesterol, HDL is not so significant. So this is reason why I didn't combine the systolic blood pressure and the diastolic blood pressure as one variable is hypertension, because in the described analysis I found that systolic pressure and diastolic pressure have a different relationship between the calcium intake. This is multiple linear regression analysis. All the model is use backward variable selection by the SAS software. So we hold the calcium intake. This is a major predictor. So then we use the backward variable selection. So for example, for the systolic blood pressure, the final model of that is include the calcium intake, age, race, and education, and other variables is already excluded by the backward variable selection mass. So we also can find the calcium intake is significantly negatively associated with systolic blood pressure, diastolic blood pressure, total cholesterol, CRP, glucosemoglobin, albuminuria. Of them is negatively associated. And this table is logistic regression analysis result. Similar, we also use backward variable selection mass in the SAS software. They also have a similar result for the linear regression models. So we can see the calcium intake also significantly related with systolic blood pressure, diastolic blood pressure, CRP, glucosemoglobin, albuminuria, but the significant level is lower than the linear regression, because here the significant level is 0.05, but here is 0.10. Okay, the last table is still the logistic regression analysis, but this is focused on the different quartile with the cash on intake. We can say compare with the highest quartile of cash on intake, the lowest groups have a high risk of to get the elective systolic blood pressure, diastolic blood pressure, total cholesterol, CRP, glucosemoglobin, albuminuria, but the significance is not too high. The very So from our results, we found some negative association between the calcium intake and cardiovascular disease among obese US. This includes systolic pressure, diastolic pressure, CRP, global hemoglobin, and albuminuria. But total cholesterol and HDL is in the linear regression analysis is significant, but in the logistic regression it's not significant. So we think perhaps more research needs to focus on these two variables to research about their relationship. And all the analysis adjust for the energy intake and other potential risk factors. And because right now there are no gold standards for the calcium intake, we know what criteria is insufficient for the calcium intake, what criteria is sufficient. So there are just some recommendations from USDA. So we can say the dietary reference intake for the calcium intake is 1,000 milligram per day for the 19 to 15 adults, 1,000 milligram per day for 15 to 17 male, and 1,200 milligram per day for female, and also 1,200 milligram per day for the people above the 17 years old. Because the means of our research found the calcium intake is 880 milligram per day. So we can see among the US obese adults, they didn't meet the dietary reference intake. So calcium supplementation is a flexible, cost-effective, possible, even on the population level. So enhance the stable food with the calcium intake for the high-risk individuals, highlight opportunity for the easily intervention to decrease the inhibited cardiovascular disease. So there is a strength and a limitation for our study. Of course, our study is large-scale. It's nationwide, includes 12 years, use a very large database. Our sample size is more than 10,000. And we just focus on high-risk population obese adults. We not just use BMI as obese criteria. We use both BMI and the central obesity criteria, because right now a lot of literature shows central obesity adults have a more risk factor to develop the cardiovascular disease. And we also adjust some common covariates. Limitation, our study used cross-sectional study that just provide calcium intake associated with the risk factor of cardiovascular disease, but we can't see their causal relationship. But more cohort study, the longitudinal study need to prove there is causal or not causal relationship. And physiological mechanism also need to improve in the study to know how the calcium work for the body. And we know the cardiovascular disease is multiple causes disease. So other behaviors and dietary such as physical activity, secondary lifestyles, perhaps need to research or involved in the study to make more to make the more active study for that. So conclusion. In adequate calcium intake may increase the risk of hypertension, CRP, albuminuria, or glucosemoglobin in the obese adults in U.S. Increase the calcium intake in obese adults can be considered as a strategy to prevent cardiovascular disease. We can do some high-risk group intervention, focus group for that. And the future studies will focus on the advanced nutritional intake, longitudinal epidemiology, I already mentioned, to know the cultural relationship or no causal relationship, and other health promotion policy intervention development. This is part of my reference. That's all. Thank you. Any questions?
Let's give her a round.
This one?
Yes.
Okay.
So for that one, I see that the smoking decreased across the quartile.
Yes.
And the alcohol increased.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any, like, an explanation for that?
Okay. Because this research finished last year, and after that, we also focused on the smoking and alcohol use to do more research. Because the individual in our study, age from the 20 to the 85, is very long range, so we think perhaps their effect is this infective. So the next study I already done separated the age group to the 20 to 45, 45 to 16, 16 above 16, and I found in the different age group they have a different effect. So as here I didn't separate the different age group, so you found the effect perhaps not make sense. But after that, we found in the younger age groups the smoking and alcohol have a more effect for the cardiovascular disease, but in the older age group, it's not so effect.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? I had one. When you use BMI and waist circumference, did you
yes.
Did it cause you to have a reduction in your population study? Like, did by adding BMI and waist circumference,
No. I didn't use and, I used either. Or either BMI
or
waist circumference, yes.
So then if you only use BMI, did you account for those people who just had heavier muscularity?
I didn't separate.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That was just one question. Because if you use BMI and waist circumference,
yes.
then BMI then becomes a proxy for muscularity, and waist
yes.
circumference becomes for obesity.
Yes.
The second question was, did you look at total intake or nutrient density?
Mm-hmm. No, because this study used the data from NHANES,
mm-hmm.
and this part NHANES collected data just from the food or beverage,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't combine all the calcium intake.
Okay, and was serum calcium biomarkers available in the NHANES data set?
Yes.
And did you think about using that as a marker instead of the
yes,
food
I
records?
Think perhaps in the later part I can involve more variables in our study to research.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, let's get
it. Thank you.